What a wonderful time of worship together in the Lord this morning. I invite you to take your Bibles and open them up to the book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll begin digging in here in verse number 12 in just a minute. Well, we are in the middle of a series on the kind of church that Jesus builds. We take that from Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus says, "I will build my church." That the one who stands behind his church is Jesus Christ. And we need to figure out from Scripture the kind of church that Jesus wants to build so that we can join him in the building of his church. We've talked along the way about how the Word of God is an anchor to the church. And I want you to know, as folks who are here today, maybe for the first time, this church is founded upon and grounded in the Word of God. We believe God's Word, the Bible. We preach it, we teach it, we stand behind it, and by God's grace and for His glory, we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, obey the Word of the living God. We talked about how prayer is what powers the church. We've talked about how spiritual gifts are given in order that we might serve the church. We've talked about how worship focuses the church. Last week, we talked about how the Lord's Supper reminds the church. Today, we're going to talk about pastors, because pastors are given to the church by God to shepherd the church. So pastors shepherd the church. Let's pray. Father, as we look at what your word says, help us to run to it and embrace it for what it is. And Lord, I know that as we look back over our lives, even today, there are pastors who touched our lives in great ways. Ways that we can never repay. But yet in our hearts and in our minds, we esteem them greatly for the work that they have done. And Father, our prayer is that as we understand your church and as we understand the way you put your church together and the church you want to build, my church, Father, that we would open our eyes to see the truth of the Scripture. That, Father, we would lay aside all of our preconceived notions and ideas, and we would just lay ourselves bare to the truth of God's Word today. And, Father, we, as the people of God, would give glory to God for the way you've provided leadership in the church through pastors, through shepherds, who love and care for the flock of the living God. So, Father, we pray that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think one of the beautiful images of Scripture regarding the Lord Jesus Christ is his image as the great shepherd. Jesus Christ is the overseer of our souls. He is the chief shepherd. He is the great shepherd. We know that from John chapter 10, where he said that he, as the great shepherd, laid his life down for the sheep. But we know that Jesus ascended to heaven, and we know that Jesus sent the Spirit of God to come in his place and take on the same role of shepherding. And the role of shepherding is as old as the Bible. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve rebelled and sinned against the Lord and against His Word. And you see that in the cool of the day, the Lord God is walking in the garden and He is seeking and searching for that which was lost. Amen. Our God is a God with a shepherd's heart. And Jesus is a Savior with a shepherd's heart. And when he calls pastors to his church, he calls them as under shepherds of Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at the Bible, it's very clear the pastor is not a CEO. The pastor is a shepherd who follows the shepherding of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We get this, by the way, from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God. Shepherd the flock of God. That's the charge that he gives to an elder. Now, the word elder is another word for a pastor. In fact, in the Greek language, there's three words that are used interchangeably to refer to the same office. That word happens to be poimen here, which is shepherd. There's also the word presbyteros, where we get the word Presbyterian for, and episkopos, that we get the word Episcopalian for. But all of those are words that refer to the oversight and the leadership of the church. That God, in His great plan of wisdom, appointed shepherds over the flock who would indeed care for and love and nurture the church. So pastors are given by necessity by God to care for and lead and shepherd the body. This is the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, shepherding the church through pastors who shepherd. So what does a shepherd do, you might ask? Great question. One, a shepherd knows his sheep. In fact, Johnny Hunt is fond of saying that a shepherd should smell like his sheep, because he's among them, because he's around them, because he is doing life together with them. A shepherd knows his sheep. We are indeed among the sheep in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. We'll be the same in 1 Thessalonians 5 in just a moment. Among the sheep. That we are hanging out with the sheep. We are doing life in community with the sheep. We are not on a pedestal above the sheep. We are to be among the body with the sheep. If you see a shepherd and he is shepherding well, he is in close proximity to his sheep. He knows the sheep intimately. He knows them. He knows their needs. He knows their hurts. He knows their wants and their desires and all the things that are happening in their world. He is engaged as a shepherd who knows something about his sheep. But a shepherd also feeds the sheep. One of the great privileges that I have on a weekly basis is to come here and deliver the food that God has prepared in my heart for you. That's what a shepherd is doing. At the end of the day, you may not remember all the sermons I've preached for the last 2 years and 4 months. But here's one thing I hope you do go away saying, that you have been well fed. That the Word of God has been proclaimed and heralded and gloried in this pulpit in order that you might be not a malnourished sheep, but a sheep who is well fed. And nowhere does that come any clearer in Scripture than John chapter 21, when Peter is in the process of being restored by Jesus to the ministry. And he asks him three important questions in that restoration process. He said, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes. And what does he say? He says, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do. Tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? And he says, feed my sheep. That is an indication of the shepherd's love for the sheep, by the way he carefully feeds them and nourishes them. And we know this from Psalm 23, don't we? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He is taking care of me, placing before me a bounty of feed in order that I might be strengthened as a sheep in His flock. He knows the sheep, He feeds the sheep, but He also leads the sheep. One of the requirements of a pastor is to lead. That's what a shepherd does. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So leadership is part of a shepherd's responsibility, leading them around danger, leading them into the truth, leading them into the vision and plan that God has for His church in the future. That shepherd needs to lead his sheep. And a shepherd nurtures and protects his sheep. One of the things about a shepherd is he knows where that sheep is hurting. He knows where to apply that medicine. He knows where the broken bone is. He knows how to nurture and care for the sheep, how to shepherd them. And so what a shepherd is doing is he is giving his life to the nurturing and development of the soul of the individuals that he shepherds. Now, this isn't just for a senior pastor or a pastor, teaching pastor in our church, but it's also surrounding us with other elders, other staff members who are in the same way shepherding maybe a different age group, maybe a different demographic, but at the end of the day, they're shepherds who find the investment in people to be way more important than the execution of some of the ministry details. And what I mean by that is simply this, that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's a principle that I learned early on as a pastor, that you have to show that love, that sacrificial love for the sheep in order for the sheep to know that you've got their back, that you've got their best interests in mind, that you indeed are following the great shepherd as the under shepherd, as the sheep are following you. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Final instructions to this church at Thessalonica, and here's what he says, the Apostle Paul. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. The word ask at the beginning of verse 12 is a strong word. It means to appeal strongly, to urge, to beseech, even implore. We are strongly urging you, brothers. Now, why does he remind them that they're brothers? Because he wants to remind them that they know the Lord. He wants to remind them that just as their leaders are in Christ, so they are in Christ. They are part of the same family. They are on the same team. Folks, there's only one team at Madison Avenue. It's Team Jesus. Okay? We're together on Team Jesus. The pastor's on Team Jesus, the staff's on Team Jesus, the deacon's on Team Jesus, the seniors are on Team Jesus, the youth are on Team Jesus. We are all on Team Jesus. That's why he says, brothers, you are all recipients of God's grace. You all know what it was like to be lost and now found. And in Christ, in the Lord, we are brothers and sisters united as one. Brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So there's three functions of the shepherd that are outlined here in verse number 12. I want to jump first to the functions that the shepherd is doing and then go back and pick up the admonition. So the first function of a shepherd is what? Laboring among you. That the shepherd is working. I never will forget, there's always that one guy in the church who always likes to say that to the pastor just to really get him going. I wish I had a job like yours. I wish I just worked one day a week. And I remember Johnny Hunt one time saying to anybody in the church, if you'll spend 1 week with me, I will wear you out with what I've got to do. And so the issue is not this idea that the ministry is easy and that's why we pick the ministry because, oh, it's just so easy. It's not. First of all, we didn't pick the ministry as pastors. God chose us. I didn't come out of the womb saying, preacher, want to be a preacher, preacher, want to be a preacher. But God, in His sovereign plan for my life, first of all, called me to Himself in salvation and then called me to His church as a servant of the Lord. So I can't undo what God has already done. God has called, I have answered, and in obedience to that call, I find myself shepherding the flock that God has entrusted to me, and it is labor intensive. It is work. The word there means to toil strenuously. That the ministry is not easy, but if that field of harvest and the sheep are tended to properly, it is flat out, some days, exhausting work. But man, is it great work. Is it hard to get in your car and go to the hospital and watch somebody's mom pass away unexpectedly? And watch that person come out and weep and in brokenness just, yeah, that's hard. That's hard on your emotions. That's hard on your soul. Is it hard for that couple to come and sit in front of you and say, we're about to end this marriage. We're about to walk out on each other. And they're coming to you as a last hope. Pastor, you better say something to us or this is over. The weight, the emotional weight, the spiritual weight. And add to that all kinds of spiritual warfare that takes place against us who serve the Lord. Because Satan knows that if he can discourage me and he can discourage Jamie and he can discourage Brad, then he can discourage the church. So all of those things, Paul says, when these labor among you, when they work, when they toil, when they serve, when they sacrifice, he said they're doing the work that God has called them to. And then he says the second function, and are over you in the Lord. Now there is in God's church a hierarchy of authority. We don't have to run away from that and stick our heads in the sand. God has established in Ephesians chapter 4 that He gave pastor teachers to the church for oversight. He gave elders for oversight to the church. Now, how we function in that oversight is critically important because a pastor is not to lord it over his people. But a pastor is to, with compassion and humility and servant leadership, show the people where God wants them to go. And that's the role. But don't think for a minute that there's no leadership in the church. In fact, I would say to you that churches who have no leadership or no leadership structure are often full of chaos because it's a free-for-all. But in God's church, there is structure. There is authority, and it is a derived authority. The authority that I stand behind this sacred desk, is the authority of thus saith the Lord. It is the authority of God's Word. It is a derived authority. In and of myself, I have no authority. But when I stand and I speak and I open God's Word and I say to you, this is the Word of the Lord, you should hear it and receive it as the Word of the Lord. That's the authority. But over you means that there is a responsibility that falls to us as pastors. Not just a responsibility, but an accountability. So shepherds labor among you, and shepherds are placed by God over you in the Lord. And that's the only way it would ever work, right? In the Lord. Because here's what I see when I read that. If I'm in the Lord, and you're in the Lord, this works. But if you get out of the Lord, or I get out of the Lord, it falls apart. In other words, the glad submission to godly leadership only comes when it's done in the context of the Lord. The Lord who is Lord over my shepherd and my pastor, the Lord who is Lord over my life, brings you to that point where you're saying, thank you for bringing godly leadership and godly teaching over my soul, Lord. I submit to that joyfully because it's your will for us in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says it this way. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. And boy, there's the most stark reminder. It's why James says in James 3:1, not many of you should be teachers, because you're going to be held to a higher standard. You're going to be held to a higher accountability because teaching is what? Teaching is influence. And when he says to the shepherds, shepherds, you will give an account for the way you shepherded the flock of God around you and among you, it causes us to beg for the help of God, His wisdom, His graciousness, His understanding, His strength, because we want to do this in a way that will honor the Lord. At the end of the day, the pastor's the one who's going to give an account for what he did with his life as he invested in the sheep. Did he lead them? Did he nurture them? Did he protect them? Or did he abandon them? That is a serious, serious weight that every day is in the back of my mind as I execute a pastoral ministry here at Madison Avenue. And if you would commit to pray for me, that would be my prayer. Lord Jesus, help our pastor today to shepherd our flock in a way that would please and honor you. Because one day, we understand, he's going to stand before you and he's going to give an account of how he led his ministry. So, Hebrews goes on to say this, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. We'll come back to that as we get into the application. So, it is a derived authority from the Lord. It is a delegated responsibility from the Lord. Over you is not in value or in importance. Can I say that again? Over you is not in value or importance, that I'm more valuable than you or that I'm more important than you. I simply have a different calling on my life. And I'm executing that calling in the context of the body. We just talked about spiritual gifts and how important everyone contributing their spiritual gift is to the overall health and function of the church. Pastors can't do it all. Pastors need deacons. Pastors need other believers with their spiritual gifts engaged in ministry so that the whole body is ministering to each other. It's not just one or two people doing it. So over you is calling and responsibility and accountability. Exercise this under the grace of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then the third is admonish. That word means to warn. It means to teach, to train, to discipline, even to disciple. So here is the threefold role of the shepherd. The shepherd is laboring and working and serving and sacrificing hard to the point of exhaustion among the sheep. He is placed by God in a leadership position, and he is giving oversight to the church, its direction and its care. But then he is also committed to teaching and training and discipling and preaching. This goes back to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. And by the way, Acts chapter 14, verse 23, it says there that Paul appointed elders, overseers, shepherds in every church. So every church had shepherds giving oversight to the church. Now I want you to see something that I think is really important for you to see. There's not one word in here about title. There's not one word in here about position or rank or title or even name. How are the pastors known to the people? By the work that they do. Not just because of the name on their office door or on their business card, but by the work that they do. See, I think that's critically important for you as the church. It's not just filling in a name on a bulletin and say, that's our pastor. Pastors are called by God to shepherd, and in shepherding, identify themselves through this hard work, through this shepherding and oversight, through this admonishment and teaching. You're supposed to demonstrate the function before you ever think about having the title. Now think about that. I remember the first time, and I looked on my business card, even for Madison Avenue, I was like, oh man, I did it again. I got my very first business cards, Vine Run Baptist Church. Couldn't wait to give one to my preaching professor, Robert Smith, Southern Seminary. I said, Dr. Smith, I finally got a business card. Look at this business card. Look at what it says. And it said, Greg Heisler, Senior Pastor. And he looked at me and he said, where's senior in the Bible? Great point. It's not there. You know, when you start to think about the way God puts together the body and the way he calls a shepherd, this idea of, well, I'm the senior pastor. I'm above the other pastors. No, not when you look at Scripture. When we are laboring, when we are serving, when we are leading, when we are admonishing, we are being the shepherds that God's called us to be, not by title. Not by rank, not by name, but by the ministry that we do. That is so important. I hope you see that. Now, what are we to do with these pastor fellows? There's two responses. One is to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love. Two words: appreciate them and love them. Is that hard? Appreciate. What does that mean? Respect and appreciation means that you recognize their worth and their value. What they do is critical to the health and the well-being of the church. I can tell you as an interim pastor, when I was going to churches without pastors, There were difficulties in the church that arose out of a vacancy of pastoral leadership. Those churches would get pastors and then they would begin to grow again. I'm just saying that the critical nature of the work is worthy of respect. He says, respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. He doesn't say respect those you like. Liking has nothing to do with it. We respect because of the ministry. It's okay to like, and there's a couple of you that like me, but that's okay. You got to respect those, right? Their worth and their value, what they do. Respecting their calling, respecting their worth, and appreciating that. And then the second word here is really critical. And to esteem them very highly in love. Now this only works if this is reciprocal. And what I mean by that is, it's the shepherd giving his love to the sheep, the shepherd giving his care and leadership and his feeding and leading to the church, and then the church loving back with appreciation. It's not a one-way street. This is the pastoral shepherds shepherding well, the people responding well in appreciation for the shepherding that's happening in their lives. Now, here's the most important part of the sermon. This is the so what, Glenn Heinrich. So what? Be at peace among yourselves. You ask any shepherd anywhere, anytime, what's the greatest gift that his people could give him? That's his answer. Forget the car, forget the vacation, forget all that other stuff. If you can just get sheep to get along with each other. Woo! What a difference it makes in the life of the church. I know some pastors, when they come to work, they put on the referee uniform. Because they're getting ready to referee fights in their church all the time. People constantly back and forth at each other. That's why he adds that. He says, look, you have these shepherds. They're among you. They're laboring. They're working. They're serving. Respect them. Love them. And by all means, be at peace with each other. Amen. That's why Hebrews says, let them do this with joy and not with groaning. For that would be of no advantage to you. And can I just say this in a sermon like this? I'm sure you're thinking about it. There has been so much joy that has flooded my heart and very, very little groaning in the last 2 years and 4 months that I've been your pastor. God has blessed me tremendously by calling me to come and to be your shepherd, by calling me to come and pour into this flock and love this church and love the people. And the longer I'm here, the stronger that's becoming. I sense it from you as sheep, and I sense it from myself as shepherd. And that's a bond that God creates between sheep and shepherd. A love for each other as we're doing the work of God. So we have to have pastors to be the kind of church that Jesus wants to build. We have to have shepherds who are looking out for, leading, nurturing, giving oversight to the body. We have to have that to be the kind of church that God wants us to be. So pray for us. As you have opportunity, encourage us in the wonderful work that we have to do. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that you've not left us without instruction like this today. Because it does remind us of what the church is supposed to be about when it comes to leadership. And Lord, I pray that we will have in our leadership the kind of shepherds that you so designate in Scripture for us today. Lord, the kind who are not afraid to work, and to work hard, and to work to the point of exhaustion. Father, I thank you that none of us just see this as a job that we're just punching a clock each week, but it's a ministry. And ministry's messy. Ministry's hard. Ministry's difficult. And Father, we know we can't do it on our own, but we need the Holy Spirit to strengthen us for the work ahead. And Lord, I just pray that as we think about this passage and we think about our hearts in relationship to leaders and leadership, Father, that we'll find in the Lord a genuine appreciation, a genuine respect for the work of the ministry, some of which, Lord, is never visibly seen, but you see it. And you know it's happening. And Father, our prayer is we would be a people of peace because we love you and because we love each other. And what a gift. What a gift to the body of Christ, those who dwell in peace. And Lord, we know that there's no peace without Jesus. And we need to be reminded of that great gospel. That because we were separated, because we had no peace with God, Jesus Christ came, took on flesh, dwelt among us as a human, a perfect, sinless sacrifice. Went to the cross, paid a debt that we couldn't pay, died a death that we deserved, and He rose from the grave and conquered it so that we can have eternal life. And Father, there may be someone here today that's never trusted Christ. God, we not want them to leave without having a chance to respond to the gospel. Others who may want to come and unite with our church today, others who may want to come for baptism, and others who may just want to come and pray. Lord, we don't know how you're going to lead us to respond, but one thing we do know, we can't hear the word of God and not make a decision, not make a change. So, Lord, help us to be confronted by the truth and through repentance and faith, draw closer to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.